The Past is Hard and Dominic Steele, and thanks very much for joining us this afternoon. Look, a special edition this afternoon, talking with Mark Powell from Cornerstone Presbyterian Church, who's written a fascinating article in today's Spectator magazine. Here in Australia, in Sydney, we're moving step by step towards the restarting of public gatherings in this post-COVID-19 era. 3 weeks ago, the federal government announced a three-stage plan. Stage one, built around gatherings of 10. Stage two, around gatherings of 20. And then stage three, around gatherings of 100. And it felt for a while as we were walking in a careful and measured way in that direction. Interestingly, over in New Zealand, where they're running a step or two ahead of us, they've announced that gatherings of 100 are about to start over there. But then, astonishingly, last Friday, the Premier of New South Wales allowed pubs and clubs out of the blue to start meeting with 50 people, but gatherings of 10 within those 50. Mark Powell, an extraordinary discrepancy between what was said of churches, gatherings of 10, and said of pubs up to 50 people. And it's got your goat, and you're in the Spectator today.
Yeah, it's horribly inconsistent, isn't it? I think Christians in Australia, to be commended, I think Christians overall have really done the most that they could do to be good citizens, to honour our government and to abide by the law. And yet the government is placing more trust in pubs and clubs to care for people than churches. I just think that's horribly inconsistent and sad, because you've got the well-being. There's more to just kick-starting the economy again. There's the social health and well-being, as well as the spiritual health and well-being of citizens. And I think church is a vital part of that.
Why do you think they've trusted publicans more than church leaders?
Look, it's hard not to be cynical, Dominic.
Are you going to tell me the gambling lobby?
Yeah, it's a powerful lobby, isn't it? With taxes and revenue. I mean, that's the only sort of conclusion I can come to, that the government wants to kickstart the economy. And so it's pubs and clubs that are the places that they want to really focus on, not churches that are really there to care for the community and one another. It's something smells fishy.
And it's also saying something about the value of the contribution that the government believes churches make to the community compared to the value of the contribution of pubs and clubs and the economy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think as a Christian and as a pastor like yourself, I think there's part of me deep down that feels actually quite offended that you would trust pubs and clubs and the gambling and the alcoholism that's often associated with it, but you wouldn't trust churches to do the right thing, to care for people, to love the people that are with them. I think there's something offensive about that.
As I've heard about some of the lobbying that the senior church leaders have done the last couple of days, they've had to work hard to assure the government actually that we do have competent leaders in place who are actually able to work out people flows, COVID-safe procedures.
Yeah.
And that was, it kind of felt like that was news to some of the government officials that were listening.
Yeah. I mean, look, you and I know as pastors, and any pastor listening to this, and even any church member knows the extraordinary lengths that churches go to provide safe places for children and safe places for everybody that comes through our doors. We're in a better position to care for people than pubs and clubs. People at the moment are feeling really isolated and really lonely. I know personally.
Yeah, you were telling me, what's going on with your heart at the moment in the middle of this COVID season?
Look, I feel a little bit foolish, really, for really acknowledging it, but I think it's important. I've noticed in the last week or so, I've started to get really down. There's been really dark times where I feel really depressed, and I'm thinking, what's going on? I'm not normally like this. And as I've just been reflecting on it, I've just thought, you know, I really miss church. I miss the opportunity to fellowship with God's people, to come together, you know, in corporate worship of God. What I miss is hearing the voice of God's people as we sing together. Mm-hmm. I miss sitting under God's word together. I miss that. There's a great strategy that we have in New South Wales, an Are You OK program. Mm-hmm. And I think church at its heart is actually about that. What we do is horizontally we say to one another, are you OK? Mm-hmm. You know, what can I do to help you? But on an even more profound level, vertically, we're saying to God each week, you know, God, I'm not OK. I need your grace, I need your forgiveness, I need your strength, and I need your wisdom. And we come and we call on God in faith to help us. And flowing out of that, not just individually, we're calling on God to help us as a community. And I would hope that our government sees that, that when we come together as a church, we're actually seeking the good of our community and not just ourselves as individuals.
And yet, if I'm not okay and I'm a citizen and the government says, don't go to church, go and gamble, actually, at the time when I'm not feeling okay, when I'm feeling vulnerable, when I'm feeling down, I'm more likely to get into the gambling, into addiction and that kind of thing.
Exactly. Look,
so it's actually an anti-society move by the government.
I think it's a negative thing, because what you're saying is when you're feeling emotionally vulnerable and you're feeling down, where do you go to for comfort? Where do you go to for strength and for hope?
Oh, I go to drink and alcohol.
Exactly.
And gambling, of course.
and it's a sugar fix, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just gives me that hit that I feel like I can sort of get through it, but the next morning we wake up with the hangover or with the with the credit card debt. And that seems to me especially important to acknowledge this, the danger of this, when the government has been so generous with JobKeeper and JobSeeker. That could, you know, potentially be wasted here through avenues that are not constructive and not beneficial.
Now, one of the arguments that was put by the government officials when the Christian leaders went into lobby was arguments of singing. I mean, you just spoke positively about singing, but it could well be that we need to open up without singing. Now, if that's the case, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm okay with procedures, I'm okay with COVID safe policies, I'm okay with temperature checks, I'm okay with check-ins, all that kind of thing. But to actually say the people of God can't meet, I'm not okay with that.
Well, the other side to this is the inconsistency. So what you're saying is, what, at pubs and clubs there's no shouting, there's no singing?
Of course, the shouting across the table. When I need to hear, want to make myself heard, I've got to speak loudly, and when I'm projecting across to you.
Exactly. And the other thing is when alcohol is consumed, you tend to not only speak more loudly, you tend to break down the social distancing, and all of those rules go out the window. Not only that, but as churches, you know, we know each week who's in our churches. At our church, we keep a list, and that you actually get ticked off the list, not in a formal school way, but we also know who's visiting.
It's part of pastoral care.
Exactly, and we followed up with a letter to our newcomers. If there was, God forbid, a case of COVID in our congregations, the government could so easily find the network of people that would be potentially affected. So I just think, in terms of consistency, churches are a much healthier, more beneficial, safer place than a pub or a club to be. I'm not against a pub or club opening, but if you're going to open one, surely you should give the same opportunity to the other.
Now, that's the argument the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Sydney and the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney put to the Deputy Premier and the Treasurer on Monday. It's the argument they put to a number of lower-level health officials yesterday. We saw Premier Berejiklian hint at her press conference this morning that an announcement will be forthcoming. Why do you think, and I'm guessing it's got to do with the quietness of the lobby,
why do you think so?
They announced it for pubs and clubs last week, and we're playing catch up as a church.
I think, if I can say, there's a broader malaise that's happening within evangelicalism. We tend to be not as willing to speak up in public on things that we're deeply concerned about.
I only wrote to my local... I mean, this morning, as a result of your article, I wrote to my local member, and he rang me back half an hour later, and he was actually more agitated about it than I was.
Yeah, and I think we need to, in a godly way, but we live in a democracy. We need to approach our public officials. I don't know what's going on. There's a broader question here of why we're reluctant as Reformed evangelicals to put our hand up and get involved in the public square. We saw it last year, for instance, with the abortion debate. In Martin Place, when I was there, very few Protestants I looked around were there. very few Protestant church leaders. And I'm thinking, what's going on that we're so unwilling to speak up for things that we know are beneficial, not just for ourselves, but we believe are beneficial for our whole community?
And we know the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Exactly.
The squeaky wheel gets the attention.
Yeah.
And so right now, I think you're saying we've got to be in our elected officials' face.
Absolutely, we should. This is the time.
To write to them, to ring them, to say...
Yeah. And again, not in an aggressive, ungodly
way. Well, actually, there's lots of positive things to say. I mean, the government actually has done a really good job.
They really have.
Until this last little kind of swerve into the curve.
I think so. I think there is a lot we can be thankful for. I think we need to reaffirm our commitment to them, our obedience to them. The scriptures talk about us honouring them. But at the same time, we need to, as citizens, as members of a democracy, we need to raise our concerns that for the good of our community, churches need to be reopened. Now, I'm not saying being reckless.
No, we're very happy with the 10, 20, yeah. 100, but it's an extraordinary... I mean, we're sitting here in Village Church Annandale. Across the road is the Annandale North Hotel. Yeah. You're only allowed to have 10 people in this building reading the Bible and praying, and you can have 50 people eating in the building across the road.
I know, and look, let's face it, put alcohol in the mix and, you know, things get very blurred very quickly. The other thing is, I think I'm concerned, and I'm sure you would be too, about weddings and funerals.
Mm. And we had a funeral. Mm-hmm. I was texting this morning the children of the person who died, and we had a funeral here 10 days ago. Mm. And we had it on the first day that 20 people were allowed to come to a funeral. Mm. And it was a mercy that there weren't just 10, but there were 20.
Mm.
But what a terrible thing that 20 people are allowed at a funeral inside in New South Wales and 50 people are allowed to go into the pub across the road.
Yeah. Now, we should qualify that they're saying, yes, 50 in total are allowed at the club or pub, but only in groups of 10.
Yeah.
But you could have 5 groups of 10, couldn't you?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Thanks very much for coming to talk to us. My guest on The Pastor's Heart, Mark Powell, he's on the team at Cornerstone Presbyterian Church in Sydney. And you've been listening to this special edition. And let me just encourage you, if you are with us from within New South Wales, do what I did. Write to your local member and write a polite, respectful letter to the Premier saying thank you for your leadership during this time. It's been terrific, but this issue needs addressing. You've been with us. We'll look forward to your company next Tuesday afternoon on The Pastor's Heart. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.